thank you for being here this morning. Certainly enjoyed it very much being here and being able to listen to Roger's lesson. You know, as I was thinking about the lesson, he was talking about us being changed into something that is a beautiful thing, but it's also something that is beneficial and useful. And as I thought about that in God's use, I was thinking about how we need to be that type of people. And it's up to us to determine that we want to be that way. And so I thank him for bringing that lesson. It just turns out that he led very good songs for my lesson. So it works out that if we're going to be that type of people, certainly we need to consider our lives and we need to think about what really makes us happy. And as he led the songs this morning, he talked about "There's Sunlight in My Soul Today." And we sang that song, and certainly sunlight is one of those things that just helps us so much. I mean, physical sunlight does, but nothing like the spiritual sunlight. And then he led us in "Thank You, Lord," because as we think about what God has done for us, it should bring that smile to our heart. And then "Unto Thee, O Lord," as he led that song, certainly we do trust in God. And as it turns out, that's a lot of what the lesson's going to be about, because if you think about it, if we were to go out and ask 20 people, "Well, what makes you happy?" It's not going to be what we're going to talk about today. I'll almost guarantee it unless we talked to Christians. If we were talking to people of the world, we're going to get probably 20 different answers, because they're going to tell us something in their life and that just makes them, they think, happy. But as we look at it, what we find is that truthfully, most people aren't very happy. I'm around a lot of people and they're just not happy. I worked with a lot of people that you couldn't have made them happy if you'd have tripled their salary, gave them all the week off, and they never had to come back to work. They'd still be upset because something didn't happen just right. And that's sad. But that's a focus on this life. And unfortunately, too many Christians are the same way. They're not very happy people. And I think we mistake what happiness means versus, that laughter and everything about enjoying life. When we're talking about happiness, we're talking about something that happens inside of us. Now, it is represented on the outside, but if we don't change the inside, it'll never be represented on the outside. What you'll find is that when we're not a happy person, we typically are very negative about things. We don't look at things the right way. We start thinking about things in a totally different way rather than looking at the total picture of what God has put us here for. Now, I tried to think of, I didn't look this up because I didn't want to put that definition up there today, but I was thinking that the way I would look at it is happiness is that inner smile. It is inside of us that we feel good, that we understand what life's about, regardless of what Roger was talking about this morning, the things we go through, that we're still going to be happy people. Now, how does that work? Well, if we understand the end result of something, we certainly can understand that. Actually, as I was thinking about that, and I thought about what Roger did in the songs, a verse that I just love came to my mind from Hebrews chapter 12. And it talks about the fact that we need to be more like Jesus Christ. Well, what is it that Jesus did that we need to look at? Well, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." How could he do that with joy? Well, because he didn't look at the here and now. He was looking at the end result. Just like Roger's lesson this morning, it's not a matter of looking at what starts out. It's a matter of looking what's at the end. And that should bring a smile, because who are we going to be looking at? We're going to be looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So inside of us, we're going to have that smile all the time. I don't care what we're going to go through. Inside of us, our hearts are going to be smiling because we're going to understand and know what God has prepared for us. You know, we sing songs like, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And do we really mean that? How many of us really mean that? Today, would you give it up? Today, would you be willing to leave this life and go at home with your Father? Today. Today. I have one person nod yes. Today. Well, but wouldn't you leave all of this? What about your family? What about today, would you go? That's what we sing. We're looking forward to that. So that's what brings it. Talking about the Lord's Supper this morning and what Kyle said. The focus. Talked about what our Lord and Savior did. That inner smile comes. Look what He did. Oh yeah, it horrifies us to think that it took that to get rid of our sins. But on the other hand, the smile should come because we think of what He did for us. I'm talking about an inner smile. He did that so that we could have eternal salvation. You know, people place so much emphasis on the things of this life. They become so important. It reminds me of the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed that went among the thorns, Jesus said, didn't take very long. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word. We're living in the world. We're living with the thorns. What do we see? Well, I need that toy. I need this. I need that. That'll make me happy. I will guarantee you something. It won't. It won't. It's not what brings happiness. God said, I'll tell you what will bring happiness, and that's what we're going to really look at. He said it's going to come from within, not from without. Not one time will you ever be happy. Now, can that influence our happiness? Absolutely. Absolutely. We can go through things in life that at that moment, it's a struggle for us. But inside, we look at the greater picture, and we say, I can make it through this. I'll get to that next level. I'll do whatever it takes. So let's just look at some things that make us happy, the Bible says. 127th Psalm, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. What makes us happy? Children. You know, Roger's not the same. He's not the same when his children aren't with him. It means something to us. You know, everyone in this room is a child. Now, your parents may have gone on, but as long as they were alive, you're still a child. Then go down to his mother's. He said this morning, I don't go down there to straighten her out. I go down there for her to straighten me out. Fine, because he's still her child. I don't care how long he might live on this earth as long as she's alive. That's the way it is. And so when we look at this, children are a heritage. They bring a smile to our face. Maybe not so much when they grow up and things. No. He's talking about, we understand this, that as we look around the table, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It is a wonderful thing, the joy they bring to our lives. Just something from God, though. As long as we realize that, they bring happiness. When we start thinking of them, and I've told this before, and it saddens me. This young woman said, they asked her why she had a child out of wedlock, and you know what she said? I wanted someone to love me. She wasn't looking at what she could do for this child. And the happiness she could derive if it had come into this world in the right way and under the right circumstances. You see, we're not looking at things right. If we understand their heritage from the Lord, that the fruit of the womb is a reward. You know, they understood that in the Old Testament. They understood how much children meant. And now, children are just throwaways. Just throwaways. Says to not be ashamed, but will speak with their enemies in the gate. When you have that family structure, you understand that. It gives you strength. You understand it came from God, and God was with you, and thus you have this blessing from God. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. These are in no particular order. These are just things that we're going to look at in the Bible. And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of day is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. He said, you know, not only has He given people children as a heritage, but now He says wisdom. Wisdom. It's very important. Have you ever done something, and maybe there was a conflict between two people, and you helped work it out, and you left with a smile because you thought, I used some wisdom there. Or you're about to just get into it with someone, and you stopped yourself, and you thought, I've got to do this right. I know what God, I've got to use my brain. I need to use some wisdom here. Think before I speak. The old thing about, brains and idle and the tongues and drive. The tongues are going at it, and you're not using your brain. Wisdom, knowing how to use the knowledge you have. That's what it's all about. He said it's better than silver and fine gold. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people would rather have wisdom or riches? I remember a comedian one time, he said, I'd rather be dumb than a sack of rocks and be rich. Really? Really. What's the value? Which one is going to help you get through life? Wisdom. More precious than rubies? Jewels? All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. There's not, he said, one thing in life, one material thing that's worth wisdom. So how do we get it? Length of days is in her right hand. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be able to understand how to better live your life so that you don't shorten it on the basis of making stupid choices and mistakes? In her left hand, riches and honor? What kind? He's not talking about physical riches and honor. He's talking about the riches that comes from being able to use what God has given you. Honor will come with that. People will say, that's a person I can go to for advice. That's a person who can help me. I'm not going to go to someone that just makes it worse. I'm having this problem. I actually need some help. Not someone to say to me and give me the wrong advice. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. When you go to this person, they're not going to make your life miserable by what they're going to tell you. Or they may momentarily say some things that you don't really want to do, but they're going to tell you what's right. Her paths are peace. All her paths. That's not talking about peace as far as the whole world is concerned. That's talking more about knowing how to not create strife with what you say and do. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Tree of life. And we know about the tree of life. And happy are all who retain her. You want happiness? Get wisdom. How? James 1, 5-8. If any man lack wisdom, I have been praying for wisdom, I think ever since I read this scripture. I pray for it. If any man lack wisdom, I do not think he's talking about, I know he's not talking about one day I'll wake up and have the knowledge of God's Word. But what he's talking about is our ability to use what we know. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise from God. You want it? Ask for it. But remember that with it, as we just read, comes responsibility. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering or doubting, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. But let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. You want the difference? That's the difference. That's the choice we have to make. We get it from God. God said, you want happiness? That's the way to do it. In the 144th Psalm, 11-15, rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our field. That our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in the streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Why? Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You want to be happy? Choose God. Choose Him over everything. Choose Him as the one you focus on. You'll be happy. There's no other choice. What will happen? Well, He's the one that rescues and delivers. And that's what the psalmist is saying. All of these things will happen. If you'll do it, you'll depend on Him and you'll trust in Him. The sons will be grown up as plants in their youth. You know what? You'll teach your sons about God, and guess what will happen? They'll be like that strong plant that's needed. How about the daughters? It's pillars. Sculptured in palace style. He's saying there'll be something beautiful to look at. Not outer beauty, inner beauty. You'll have the things of life that you need. God will take care of you. You don't have to worry about them. We put our focus the wrong place. We put our focus in God, and we'll be happy as that He's our God. And all of these things will be added unto us. How many of them? All of them. Oh, am I going to be a rich person financially? No, not necessarily. Is it wrong to be? No. Will I have all the things that I want? Maybe not. That's not what He's talking about. Oxen be well laden. There be no breaking in or going out. That there be no outcry in the streets. Basically, he's saying, if you put your trust in God, everything's not going to be perfect. But there's one thing for sure. God will be. He'll always be there for you. He'll always take care of you. And that'll keep that inner smile. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Isn't that true? Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 16:20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord happy is. We sang that song. Unto thee, O Lord, I trust in thee. Do we? Trust. Putting all of our confidence in Him. All of it. How much? All of it. Not in me, in Him. Someone, I say this often, said, why is it you're so confident, Abe, in your salvation? Because of God. I trust Him. I trust Him to take me through. Because I'm going to keep asking His forgiveness. I'm going to keep trying, knowing that I'm a sinner saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. My trust is in Him. Whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. These are promises. We'll be happy. You know when we're not? When we start looking at the things of this world and we start looking around and we start picking out all the bad things that are happening. Can't find one good thing happening. And guess what we start doing? We start getting down. We start thinking, okay, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Oh, my life, my life, my life. No. Keep your focus on God. When people say, well, what if this happens? And this is my answer. The one positive constant in my life is God. So I'm not really concerned about everything. What if this nation fails? God's still there. What if I don't have the things I have now? God is still there. That's my focus. What difference do those things matter in the long run? What if I leave this world and I only have one pair of pants? Will it matter? If I have salvation when this life is over? Psalm 128, 1 through 6. Blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. And some translations, the Old King James Version has happy there, and other translations do as well. And they're all the same word. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be happy or blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So now I got to the good part. Linda's already smiling. It's not quite yet. It'll be 10 minutes. Blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord. Deep reverence. Respect for knowing what He can do. I respect that. And it keeps me sometimes on the straight and narrow. It doesn't always work. I don't always do right the way I should. Got to walk in His ways, not in mine. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. When you eat the labor of your hands, you know, I think sometimes that we were talking to a fellow yesterday that had put out a garden, and he was talking about just eating of the labor of his hands, how precious that was. It's Kim's grandfather. And you know, that's an amazing thing. It just makes you feel good to know that God blessed you with that and you can have it. And your wife, like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, she gives the life to the house. She puts life there because she's trusting in God. Bill's smiling. He's thinking a little too much life sometimes. But she puts life there. Your children, like olive plants all around your table. Can you imagine the life he's talking about and the giving of life? Olive tree meant so much, the vine meant so much to them. It gave the oil. It gave them healing. It gave them light. It gave them so many things. And that's what he's talking about. That's what children do around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. See the good all the days of your life. Not one day will go by that you won't see the good in all of these things. And yes, might even get to see your children's children. And Mabel's got to see her children's 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 children or something. I don't know if I stopped long, soon enough or not. But think about that. And there's going to be two more on the front that's going to get to do that pretty soon. Amazing. What a blessing from God. Happy. 1 Peter 3:10 through 14. Now this one seems kind of odd. But as you go through it, you'll understand it. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Who is it's going to do that? We know who it is. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed or happy, and do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But you're going through it. It's difficult. It's not easy going through people making fun of you and putting you down because you've chosen to do exactly what the Bible says and no more. But you know, this is what it's all about. How do we react to all of this? Well, he's already given us the key to it. We're going to love life. We're going to show them we do. We're not going to have that sad face around them. We're going to make sure that they understand that we enjoy life. We're going to keep our tongue in between the two cages that God gave us, as my dad used to say, the teeth and the lips, and we're going to refrain from evil, period. We're going to do good. We're going to, in front of those people, we're going to show them that we have something better in our lives. We're not going to let them destroy our happiness because external things, again, aren't what causes or us to be happy or not be happy. It comes from inside. Because you see, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I don't have to concern myself with that regardless of who does things to me. His eyes are still on me and his ears are open to my prayers. And I have the most powerful weapon in the world, my prayer. And you do too. It is so powerful. It will change things. Who is it? Well, you know, we know who wants to harm those that become followers of what's good. But he said, you know, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy. And that's exactly what he says in 1 Peter 4:12 through 14 about the things that were going to come upon them. How they were going to be reproached. But he says, rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad. Be glad with exceeding joy. He said, to go through things will make us better. But going through them sure doesn't seem that way. But the end result is good. Because if you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy or blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. What more would we want? They are there with us, helping us go through this. Because on their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. You want to glorify God? Make it through it. In Acts 5:41, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the Lord. If there's no revelation, if we didn't have this Word of God, I wouldn't know what to do. There would be no restraint. I could choose my own way. You could choose yours. Chaos. If we do what God says, it's happy. We'll be happy. Because we'll understand it's for our good. He never tells us to do things that aren't for our good. Romans 14 is a passage of Scripture that talks about our dealings with other people. People who are weak in the faith and people who are struggling with things. And when we look at Romans 14, he talks about some things I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one from whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. If you noticed throughout so many of these passages of Scriptures that we're talking about, and he's talking about happiness, about peace, peace, peace. Where even though Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, he's talking about something totally different. He understands that by bringing what he brought, that there are going to be people against us. But on our part, we should be trying to bring peace. Peace not on the basis of we'll just agree to anything, but peace on the basis of trying to get other people to have peace with God. That there will no longer be a problem between them and God, and thus there'll be no problem between us and them. And the things by which one may edify another. In other words, let's seek to do things that would help to uplift and build each other. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it in yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in that which he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. I'm not going to spend a whole lesson on this, but I'm just going to do this real quickly. What this is talking about is foods that were offered to idols. People knew if they ate that food when it's sold in the marketplace, they weren't doing anything as far as an idol was concerned. But there were others that didn't understand that. And they struggle with it. So the whole point is, don't you do something. Don't go, if you don't need to go buy that meat. So don't do it if you know that it might be harmful to someone else. The principle is, we don't want to do things that even we have a liberty and a right to do, if it's going to destroy someone else's faith or cause them to offend, that is sin. So I don't ever want to do that. And so the whole point of this is, we'll get to the point that he's making one point about how to be happy about all of this. Happiness will come when I realize that I've gone out of my way to make sure that I will not do anything that would cause someone to sin, even though I have a liberty in doing it. If my brother's grieved because I'm doing something, in this case, eating of that food, I'm not no longer walking in love. I just don't want to do that. Do not destroy with your food the one from whom Christ died. Now, I may not realize I'm doing that to someone, but if I realize it and they have expressed a weakness in it, then I shouldn't do it. If we knew a person had a weakness in a certain thing, and yet we just did something in front of them that might lead them to believe it's okay to engage in that weakness, which is sin, then I've done wrong. Do not let your good be spoken of as evil. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. And do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good by which your brother... He says, don't do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Nothing. So it makes... We got to have that wisdom, don't we? We need to go back to that because we want to be happy about this. We don't want someone to come up later and say, well, I saw what you did and so I figured it was okay to. That's just like a knife in the heart. Well, no, I didn't mean it that way. Well, but that's the way I took it. We need to be careful. Because happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And all he's saying with this is, you know, make sure of our faith. We need to make sure of ours. We need to be able to give book, chapter, and verse for what we do. We open a door sometimes of something that we may have a liberty about. And that door is a flood for other people that are young in the faith who don't understand. And they'll do things that are wrong. And again, not going in great detail for it right now. Because he says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Book, chapter, and verse. In John 13, 12 through 17, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done for you? He had just washed their feet and taken care of them. And he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. And Mabel, don't hit me up afterwards about washing your feet again, okay? I mean, that's not what this verse is about. What it's talking about here is, it is talking about that. If Mabel needs her feet washed, we should wash her feet. That's a good thing to be doing. But what he's trying to teach them is that we ought to indeed be willing to humble ourselves and submit ourselves and to serve others in whatever need they might have. And if you think about it, their feet were extremely dirty in those days because they walked around with sandals. And to wash someone's feet was a very humble act. So he said, if we'll do those sorts of things, if we'll serve others, if you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. Is there a better feeling in life? When you walk away knowing that you've helped someone. Maybe even a stranger. Maybe even something simple. It just makes us feel. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But that inner feeling comes of just that momentary happiness of being able to help others. In Acts 20, verse 35, I've shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, what would the world say? What would people say would make them happy? Well, just pleasing self. And how do I know that? I'm probably not going to have these phrases down right. I've heard all of these in commercials and people saying them, and it just hits me, you know. You only go around once in life. Grab all the gusto you can get. I mean, you know, just make sure receiving from others is a thing because you deserve the best. Right? Yeah. Entitlements. I mean, that word is, I deserve, people owe me. Really? Wow, I mean, that's a new one. Just the opposite of what we've been looking at, you know? I'm owed this. Why? Because you came into this world? No. I mean, you think of what we've done with people. We've destroyed people by giving and giving and giving. And how much can you give? Indulging in the sin. Oh, yeah, you know, grab all the gusto you can get. Everyone deserves to have some fun. You know, I mean, come on. You're just trying to dampen us with it. Riches. The man with the money controls the world, right? The one with the most toys wins. That's the way it works, right? That's what we preach to ourselves all the time. Honor. Well, don't you want to be remembered? Yeah. Solomon. Greatest example. He tried it all. Went through this whole thing. He'd enjoyed every one of these things. He had been through them all. He understood them all. No one has ever understood it any better than Solomon as a human being in this life. And he came to a conclusion that, you know, just eating and eating with your family and having your family there was a wonderful thing. He came to the conclusion that fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. That's the conclusion he came to. Not, oh yes, let me tell you what will make you happy under the sun. It won't do it. This is what will make you happy. The children and grandchildren, He gives you. Why? Is it because? No, because it's a part of you going on. And He knows that. And so we look at them and we see us. Moving on. Wisdom, he says, is a get it. With all you're getting, get wisdom. Work hard on it. Get it from God's Word and get it by prayer. All you can get. Making Him Lord in our lives. You want to be happy? That'll do it. Not anything else. Not that special toy that I have, but God. Making Him my Lord. Trusting in Him totally. Never doubting Him. Fearing, having that deep reverence for Him, and if need be, having absolute, abject fear of Him, if that's what it needs to straighten me out, because we better realize what He'll do if we don't obey Him. Suffering for doing good, that's when this doesn't seem right, but then if we've gone through things, we understand. The end result is we are happy because we suffered for righteousness' sake, keeping God's law, not practicing wrong. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people in life conscious, their conscience is hurt, even though they maybe never did God's Word, but they understand what they're doing is wrong. Last but not least, and these are just things that are in God's Word, serving others. We can believe God or we can believe man. We have a choice in this. But I've been on both sides. And I can tell you right now that God's right and man is not. I'm going to put my trust in God and strive to be as happy as I can be. I don't care what goes on in my life. You know, sometimes you just have to walk away from trouble. Sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to be happy regardless of what happens. I'm thankful to God to live in this great country. And it is a great country. To enjoy the many blessings that are available. I am thankful for that. But the question is, would I still have my trust in God if I didn't have these things? Actually, is it that people don't have their trust in God because they do have these things, maybe sometimes? Think of Israel, how they fell away from God when He blessed them. If I lose them tomorrow, will I still be happy? That's a question we all need to ask. What if tomorrow morning you woke up, everything you own's gone? I can if my happiness is found in God, because what's inside me, no one can take away. No one. I have a hope that will endure. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. That's what I want. Not some city here, but that city. What are you looking for? If in this life only we have even hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all people to be most pitied. If we're just looking in this life. We're going to stand and sing a song. We would encourage any that may be obedient to God's Word to let us help them. Would you please stand?